We have said in the last few chapters that one of the ways we spoke about in chapter 46 and 47, one of the ways to have a sense of Hashem's greatness and goodness, and therefore to fulfill the mitzvahs with love for Hashem and with the right attitude, the Alter Rebbe said that one of the easiest ways is when a person recognizes and realizes that Hashem has done such incredible favors for us. And we use the expression kemayim apanim lepanim, the way a face is reflected in a pool of water, so too whatever is there is reflecting. So if Hashem is showing us great goodness and kindness, what the Rebbe said in chapter 46, we should, just out of menschlichkeit, out of a sense of recognizing the good that Hashem did for us, we should also act the same way. And we gave the mashal, we gave the parable of a king who is leaving his palace and he finds a guy who is on a garbage dump, in a dump, in a sewer, and he picks him up and he cleans him off and he brings him back to his palace. And how much more so should we, the Alter Rebbe said, think that way? And then in chapter 4, that we are in such low depths and Hashem has raised us and brought us up. And we quoted the bracha that we make before doing each mitzvah, Sher Kedishanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. We said that Hashem has raised us and elevated us, and we make the bracha, thank you, Hashem, that you have made us holy. The Alter Rebbe said in chapter 46, the Alter Rebbe explained to us that that word, Asher Kedishanu, you have made us holy, doesn't just mean you made us holy. It also is related to the word for kiddushin, for marriage between couple, between the husband and the wife, and the concept of the exclusivity, the uniqueness, the concept of consecration, the idea that we're elevated, we have become so special, different than all the other nations of the world. And that's what the mitzvah does for us. So when we think that Hashem has elevated us and raised us to such a level, and we were previously or even currently struggling with such base and such low attitudes and character traits and actions and things like that. So how much more so should we be grateful? There should be an overwhelming sense of gratitude to Hashem. So that's what the Alter Rebbe said in chapter 46. Chapter 47, the Alter Rebbe continued to say that if a person thinks that Hashem did favors for us in the past during the time of the going out of Egypt, and that's why we should be grateful today. So, you know, that Egypt was a long time ago. Alter Rebbe explained to us in chapter 47, that going out of Egypt is a continual process, happens every single day. The idea of Mitzrayim, which is the confines, limitations of Egypt, is something that is continuous. We have limitations in our life on many, many, many levels. And, you know, that doesn't require too much explanation, all the issues and the problems. And Hashem takes us out of all of these issues every single day. It's a continuous process. And therefore, this concept of gratitude that we spoke about in chapter 46 has to be felt and should be felt every day. In this chapter, that was 46 and 47. So we spoke about the menschlichkeit quotient, the menschlichkeit concept of being close and recognizing Hashem's goodness and greatness. Chapter 48, we now continue. The Alter Rebbe continues the same theme with explaining to us and reminding us themes that the Alter Rebbe had previously spoken about in Tanya and different places. The Alter Rebbe now continues and tells us the idea of creation and how creation is something that is completely a new first of all, the amazing energy Hashem puts into creation, and the process by which Hashem creates the world and gives us energy, and how therefore the conclusion from the explanation that we're about to give is going to be how grateful again we should be. So previously we spoke about a mashal, a parable, the idea that there is a king and the king is coming out of a palace and the king is seeing a guy who is on a garbage dump and the guy is all filthy, and we compare the filth of this person to and the distance that the distance from the neshama has coming down from the high levels in heaven. We compare the filth on the person to the actions that we have done since being here in this world that makes us dirty in a spiritual way. So that's, you know, pretty much logical. Now we're going to talk about, on the mystical side, the distance between the essence of Hashem and the creation of the world. And now we're going to approach the same idea, meaning the lifting up, that Hashem lifts us up and Hashem holds us close, but more from the mystical side, talking about the spiritual energies and the distance between those energies and how the world was created. These are not new concepts per se, but they're all packaged together in a very beautiful way in this chapter, chapter 48, which we're about to begin. So the Rebbe says in chapter 48, and I'm reading now from the Chabad.org page, chapter 48, the Rebbe says as follows. And let me just find that in a second. There we are. So, having previously explained that God showed his love for the Jewish people by taking them out of the physical servitude, the slavery of Egypt, the Rebbe concluded chapter 47 by describing the love that Hashem shows his people by releasing them from the spiritual concept of Egyptian bondage. This is a daily and happens every single day, and therefore it's natural that a person should reciprocate with love to Hashem, just like, as we said, water that mirrors the face of the person looking into the water. And therefore, this is a menschlichkeit way, a way of being, just be a mensch, the Rebbe says, and you'll be able to overcome all obstacles, all things that block your appreciation for a spiritual service of Hashem, for spirituality, and so on. So the Rebbe now is going to talk about, on the mystical side, what does it mean that we are far from Hashem? We made this statement before, that a person, the neshama, came down from a very high place into a relatively very low place. Now, the Rebbe says as follows. Contemplating the greatness of the blessed Ein Sof. When a person thinks about the energy that Hashem put into the world, the Alter Rebbe immediately tells us this word Ein Sof, which means unlimited, which means without any limit. Ein Sof means literally Ein, without, Sof, and end. In English, we would say unlimited, infinite. So when a person talks about the infinite, you think about this idea of being infinite. The thinking person, the Alter Rebbe says, if you just think about it, you come to the realization that what is Ein Sof referring to? You have a choice here. Ein Sof could refer unlimited, infinite, when you describe Hashem's energy as infinite. Is it describing the essence of God, Hashem himself? Or is it describing the energy of Hashem? So a thinking person, the Alter Rebbe says, will come to the immediate conclusion, it cannot be describing the essence of Hashem. Because the essence of Hashem is above description. And therefore, when the Zohar uses the term, the mystical works, the mystics, the Kabbalah, and the Kabbalists use the term, the Or Ein Sof, the light which is of the infinite, it doesn't mean the light of Hashem who's infinite. It means that the light itself that Hashem emits is an infinite light. As if we would say the light of the sun. In Hebrew, we say Or Hashem, is the light of the sun. The light of the sun means the sun is the sun, and this is its light. When we talk about Or Ein Sof, is this the Or of the Ein Sof, or is it the Or itself which is Ein Sof? In other words, is this the energy of Hashem who is infinite, or is this Hashem is Hashem without description? And Hashem's energy is infinite. And Alter Rebbe says that's the second choice, the latter. That the energy itself is completely infinite. Where now the point of this is to explain to us in our own mind the relationship that Hashem is initiating by creating the world. The incredible, incredible goodness, the incredible amount of energy Hashem is giving us. That not only is Hashem himself above limitation, above description, But the energy Hashem puts into the world is above any kind of container. It's above any kind of containment. It is infinite. That energy itself is infinite. There is no end or limit or finitude to the light and vitality that diffuses from his simple will. Ritzono HaPashut is the simple will. In Chassidus, there is an explanation. There is every word is precise. The Alter Rebbe uses every word is a term, not just words. And in Chassidic thought, there is a difference explained between the concept of a flow and an illumination. In the language of in Hebrew, it's called an or which is light, and this is poetic, and shefa, which means a flow. A flow is something that comes from a higher level to a lower level. And the purpose of this flow of energy is that the lower level should be able to accept it. So that when we talk about, and again, in Hebrew, the term is shefa, we talk about a flow. A flow is something that has to flow through a series of containers, pipelines, or whatever it is that is intended then for the recipient. So, for example, we have energy that comes into our house. We have water that comes into our kitchen sink. We have electricity that comes into the wires of our house. Where does it come from? It comes from a power plant. Everybody understands that if the electricity that's in the power plant would come right into our house, will be too much. In the power plant, it's millions and millions of who knows how, whatever the volts is, the power is. In our house, it's 110 volts. And if you plug something in to the outlet, and that thing can't take, even if it's 240 volts, can't take the amount of electricity like in Europe, then the stuff inside gets fried. It burns up too much. So the energy, and the same with water, the power pressure that's in the water, where the water is first being pushed into the pipes, and the size of those pipes, if we would have that in our house, our pipes would burst. It wouldn't work. Our house would get flooded. We're full of water. So we understand that there is a need to attenuate. There is a need to cut down that amount of energy that's coming through the pipes. And that's called, in the language of Chassidus, poetically, it's called shefa of flow. What that means is, that when you have a large amount of something, a high intensity of something, and you want to transfer it to another place, and that other place can't accept, because of its own internal limitations, the amount that whatever is in the first place. So you have to have a process that cuts down the energy. Chassidus gives the analogy of an explanation that is an intellectual explanation. So you have a professor, you have a teacher who is themselves understanding the concept on a certain level. And then you have the student who's just being introduced to this concept. Obviously, the professor, the teacher cannot explain exactly every single thing the professor has in their mind, because then the student wouldn't understand. So it has to be attenuated, it has to be cut down, it has to be repackaged in such a way that the student should be able to understand the concept. This is called, in the language of Chassidus, the poetic terminology of Chassidus, this is called shefa. Shefa means a flow. And a flow is something that it's the same stuff of the original, but it's not as powerful, it's repackaged. And it's specifically repackaged with intent and purpose for the place where it's heading to be able to accept it. Like the electricity in your house from the power plant, like the thought from the teacher, from the professor, into the mind of the student who's just beginning to understand this. And then you have, Chassidus explains, something different. Another way of transmitting energy. And Chassidus calls this or light. What's the difference between a flow, the shefa, which is just a poetic way of explaining and talking about stuff that's transferred and transmitted and attenuated from the origin to the destination, versus light, which is another poetic way of saying it's not attenuated. It's exactly the same. So the light that comes from the sun is traveling and it's traveling down to the world. And that light is the same light. It's not going through any process. The light itself, it might pass through an ozone layer, it might pass through different clouds, but at the end of the day, the light is the light. So again, this is poetry. This is a way of understanding spiritual concepts by applying things that are in our own experience, because there's no other way for us to explain things except by looking at things that are our own level of experience. So Chassidus again talks about this concept of our light, which is energy transferred from the origin to the destination without being changed, versus Shefa, flow, which is energy and stuff being transferred from the origin to the destination, while that is being attenuated, changed, fixed up, repackaged in some way so that the destination should be able to actually internalize it. The question is, when Hashem gives energy to the world, how is that energy? The energy that Hashem puts into the world, is that an or energy? Is that an energy that is not attenuated, that is exactly the same as it comes out of the source? Or is that a Shefa energy? Is that an energy that is changed, is repackaged in order for the world to accept? And the answer is, it's both. What does it mean it's both? So we have previously spoken about the concept of the Sovev energy versus the Mamale energy, the energy that is above being absorbed by the world versus the energy that is capable of being understood and being internalized by the world. In this case, we're talking about the Or Ein Sof. We're talking about that level of energy that is greater than being absorbed by the world. And again, this is complicated concepts, but the Alter Rebbe is now raising us up several notches, where previously, as I mentioned in chapter 46, Alter Rebbe was talking to us from a human perspective. Be a mensch. Think of yourself. You're on the garbage dump, and the king is coming out of his palace to pick you up. Be a mensch and reciprocate. Here, the Alter Rebbe is explaining this same concepts to us, but on the mystical side, using the terminology. So it's like you're learning physics, and the guy tells you the professor explains the concepts, how they work, and now we're talking about the mathematics behind the physics. So this is, of course, is a little more complicated. So the Alter Rebbe explains to us that the Or Ein Sof, the energy that Hashem puts into the world, which is considered to be Or, it is light. In the sense, again, keep in mind that when Chassidus uses the poetry of the word Hashem's energy is like light, it means that it is not attenuated, it is not changed, it is a direct flow from the source to the destination is the same. So now you ask, so now we have to explain another difference between Or and Shefa, between light and flow. The first difference, if you recall, I don't know what to stop me if I'm repeating myself too many times here, but it is complicated stuff. So if the R is the idea that it's not attenuated, it's not changed, and Shefa, again, a flow, means it is specifically packaged and attenuated and changed in a certain way, cut down in a certain way so that it should be able to be accepted by the destination point. The electricity coming to your house goes through certain power stages and transformers and whatever it is. So that not another difference between R and Shefa, which is also very important too for our purposes here of understanding the greatness the amazing goodness that Hashem has given us by His energy. So what is that? R is because it's flowing from the source without being repackaged, the light of the sun is automatic. That means the sun is so bright, the sun, the processes, the nuclear reactions, the explosions that are happening inside the sun, the energy of the sun is so powerful that the light that comes out of the sun doesn't have to be proactively produced. It's automatic. Because the sun is so powerful, because the sun has these nuclear reactions that are happening, this radioactivity stuff It's happening inside the core of the sun. Therefore, the light is coming out of it. So it's a product of the greatness of the sun. The sun itself doesn't think about us, doesn't have to think about the world. The sun doesn't have to worry about the world. The sun goes about its own job. What does the sun do? The sun produces nuclear reactions, produces explosions of energy. What? Because of those nuclear reactions, because of those explosive energy, it has enough power automatically to be able to travel from where the sun is to us, 93 million miles away and beyond. And other suns, we can see the light of other suns too, obviously, right? Not powerful enough to give us the light that we need. And of course, just as a parenthetic statement here, we understand that the goodness of Hashem in placing us a specific distance from the sun, not too close, not too far, and in placing the earth on a specific slant, specific angle, and therefore everything in life is, if we would be a little different, everything would be different. No problem with global warming and all kinds of stuff. We're real problems, So this is what it is. The light of the sun is automatic. The more powerful, and even if it wouldn't be that powerful, it would travel a certain distance, but again, it would be automatic. Shefa, on the other hand, when we talk about flow, the way Chassidus translates and defines Shefa is it's not automatic. Shefa of flow is with a forethought. It is done with intention. Because the process of Shefa is such that it needs to be accepted by the source. It needs to be able to be internalized by wherever it's going. Therefore, the Shefa can't be automatic. It has to be in such a way that the source, in this case, we're talking about the power plant or we're talking about the professor, has to be, from the beginning, think and plan and do things to the flow that is going to be in accordance with the destination, that's going to be able to be accepted. So again, the difference between Or and Shefa, very important to know this concept, because we're going to be referring to this concept in many different ways, many different applications. This is a fundamental concept in Chassidus, Or and Shefa, light and flow. And again, the two main differences, and there's other differences too, is number one, Or, light, when we talk about the terminology, and it's terminology, so it's poetry. It's not, don't get hung up on the exact word light and flow. So the terminology is, number one, Or is automatic. Because it's automatic, it's also not attenuated. It's also not changed. It's also not cut down according to the destination. So one is connected with the other. Number two, flow is attenuated, is changed, is set up from the beginning of the issue of the flow, whether it's a person explaining an intellectual concept or it's a power plant giving energy, whatever the analogy you want to use, it is done with a forethought and it is with intention, and it is also therefore able to be accepted ultimately by the source and internalized, because the intention of the emitter of the station that's emitting it, whether it's the human teaching the thought or the power plant, is intending for it to reach a certain destination. So that's the difference between Or and Shefa. Very important basic concepts and emphasis. The Alter Rebbe here is telling us that the energy of Hashem has both qualities. Number one, it is Or Ein Sof. The energy that Hashem emits is Ein Sof. The energy itself is without limit. It's completely unlimited. It has no limitation that can be thought of in the physical world. Hashem's energy is limited, and that is because it's an emanation from Hashem. By the same purpose, at the same time, whereas using the analogy from the sun, the energy is automatic, it's not automatic. It is done with Ritzono HaPashut, it's subject to the limitations of Hashem. Hashem is diffusing from his simple will. Hashem is giving us this energy because he wants to, not because it must flow. So there is the immediate thought that the Rebbe opens up this chapter. And again, this is on the mystical levels, on the, so to speak, the mathematical levels behind the theory, is that the energy that we get from Hashem is so amazing. It has all the powers and all the qualities of being infinite. At the same time, it is completely directed to us with Hashem's will. And therefore, let's continue. Had the worlds ascended, Alter Rebbe says, from the light of the Ein Sof without contractions, but according to a gradual descent from grade to grade by means of cause and effect. So again, let's explain, what does this mean? So when it comes to the cutting down of the energy, the attenuating, the changing of the energy from level to level, and again, let's think about electricity that's going from the power plant. The electricity will pass through stages. They talk about, Siddhis uses the analogy, this is before electricity really, so Siddhis uses the analogy of an intellectual concept that is being passed down. So you have the professor, who is the biggest intellect, you know, the person who understands the concept in the deepest way. The professor explains that to the graduate student, or maybe the assistant professor. The assistant professor explains that to the graduate student. The graduate student explains that to the smartest kid in the lecture. The smartest kid in the lecture will explain it. And so on, it eventually filters down to people outside who aren't even sitting in the class. So in each case, in each stage, the thought, the intellectual concept has to be repackaged. If you're going to speak on the language of the professor, the person who is, the lowest levels of the class is not going to understand what you're talking about. And for sure, somebody sitting outside who's not even in the class will not understand. So you have to repackage it. That's why Chassidus uses, and the Torah uses, in fact, the language of metaphor and simile, the language of parable, the language. This is all repackaging concepts and terminologies that we can understand. So what happens is, that you have the kernel of the thought, but the actual thought itself is cut down. The intensity of the thought is cut down. It's not the same. You can't say that the popularization, let's say, of the concept in nuclear physics, in theoretical mathematics, writing an article about it on the internet, is not the same as sitting in a class studying theoretical mathematics, studying nuclear physics. It's just not the same. So you have the idea, you have the concept, but you don't have the richness of the thought. So you're missing a lot. And that's what happens also when we talk about, in Chassidus, we talk about the concept of Ila v'olol. Ila v'olol is another way of saying cause and effect, cause and effect. So yes, you have a level that brings to another level, and that level brings to a lower level. It's along the same. They're all cousins. They're all brothers and sisters. These thoughts, they're all the same family of thought. But no way is the richness of the first thought the same as the richness of the first thought. It just isn't that way. So that is the way the world was created, with energy that is according to the level of each stage. And as Hashem's energy flows lower and lower, the energy is constantly repackaged and constantly reformulated. Same energy at the end of the day. It's electricity, but it's not the same voltage. It's not the same power. It's not the same, just not the same, plain and simple. Just as you would say, the popularization of the thought is not the same as when they're talking about it on the highest mathematical levels. That is, had the worlds ascended, therefore, without contractions, but according to a gradual descent by cause and effect, and the Alter Rebbe gives here such is the case with regard to thought and speech. When a person speaks, it's first found within his thought. Thought is the cause, speech is the effect. Thought is more spiritual than speech. The two levels are proportioned to each other, Both of them have letters, both of them have words. And with every cause and effect relationship, the effect has to have characteristics of the cause. Meaning the next level has to be similar to the level from where it comes. You can't have a cause that has an effect that's infinitely removed from it. So the creative power that comes from Hashem, however, is not like that. The creative power that comes from Hashem, we just said, is infinite. Created beings are finite. We understand this. You don't need to be a genius to understand that the world is not infinite. There is a certain finite amount of energy in the world. The worlds themselves are finite. The physical universe is finite. Everything in the physical universe has a limitation, how long it lives, where it's going to be, the place that it is. It's not infinite. Science today, of course, recognizes that there's a certain amount of energy in the world, and that's it, in the entire universe. It could be repurposed, reformulated, repackaged, changed from one state to another, but there's a certain amount of energy and not more. The energy that comes from Hashem is infinite. So how does this change happen from infinite energy to finite creation? What happens in the middle? How does infinite become finite? So the Alter Rebbe says, therefore, it's not Ilava Olam. Choice number one would be it's cause and effect. Cause and effect, we have to scratch out. By a process of elimination, the Alter Rebbe says, the way that Hashem created the world is not what's called Ilav Ve'olol, cause and effect, meaning a relationship between stages that's a gradual procedure, it's a process. Because if it would be a process, then stage number two would be similar to stage number one. And it's not. Stage number two, which is the creation of the actual worlds, would be similar to stage number one, which is the energy that's being put into making those worlds. The energy put into the worlds is infinite. The worlds themselves are finite. And therefore, it can't be that the world is created, ilavalu, cause and effect. All right. So what's stage number two? What's choice number two? Choice number one, and the world was not created with what's called cause and effect, gradual process. Al-Deba hasn't finished a thought yet. He says the world itself is proving now that the world itself is finite by using quotations from the Midrash and from the Gemara. Of course, we know this from science, right? But what does science know? Are we sure the science is true? This is a parenthetic, again, another parenthetic comment here. We don't know that science is true unless Torah validates the science. We understand this. In the ancient times, people thought the earth was flat. In ancient times, people thought all kinds of things. That as science develops, science has realized that it's not like that. It's different. Today, we think we're such geniuses because science is so developed. Who says the science is right? Look, Einstein, who lived in the beginning of the 1900s, completely revolutionized the concepts of understanding the smallest particles. I mean, nuclear physics is not that old, relatively 100 something years old. It completely revolutionized everything. Was Newtonian physics and nuclear physics are at odds with each other. They don't have the same fundamental beliefs, plain and simple. So science used to be Newtonian, and now it's we understand we have a greater. So the question is, who says science today is correct unless Torah validates? So Torah is our point, is our North Star. Torah is our point of reference. The Alter Rebbe here is quoting from Torah. The Torah says that there is a finiteness to the world. And where does the Torah say it? The Torah says, from the earth to the firmament, the heavens, it is a distance of 500 years. Similarly, the distance between one heaven and the next, whatever this means in the actual world, that it is finite. The world is finite. So also the radial existence of each, the thickness of each heaven, whatever this means is in the physical world, is a distance of 500 years. This is a little bit of metaphor. this applies 500 years means the time it takes. The time it takes a person, today we would say light year. What's a light year? A light year is the time it takes, the space, the time, the space that light would travel in the course of a year is called a light year. So that's a term we use today in ordinary speech. A light year. A light year is the energy of the certain sun, and that light, that energy is traveling a certain distance a year. In the language of the Midrash, they didn't say light years. They said mehalech chamesh esrei shana. The light, the distance of a person walking for 500 years. Just to explain to you how nothing has changed. We're just using terminologies that is understood by the people who are listening to that time of talk, to that metaphor. So the distance of 500 years is the same concept as saying a light year. How long, what is the distance a person could walk in 500 years? That amount of distance is the space between each heaven. Again, this is metaphor. So what does the heaven mean? I couldn't tell you, but this means something, if you understand the concepts. Even the world to come and the higher levels of Gan Eden, these are all in the realm of bounds and limitations. What are their limitations? What is the limitation of Gan Eden, of paradise, if it's not physical? Because we understand that paradise, Gan Eden, is not a physical place. So what kind of limitation do they have? The physical world, we understand, is space. But what limitation does the spiritual worlds have? Al-Rebbe says the spiritual worlds also have a limitation. There is a limit to their understanding. How deeply they can appreciate and understand the greatness of Hashem, as it's clothed in Chabad, in the various levels, there's 10 sephiros, 10 levels, spoken many times. So therefore, since they have a limitation to their understanding, there's also a limitation to the enjoyment that they have from the being close to Hashem. Again, if a person is sitting in a concert and has a real deep appreciation of music and musical theory, that person has a deeper enjoyment of the concert than a person that doesn't understand the effort that it takes to to play the violin and to play the piano and the musical theory and the composition. And the more a person understands the effort and energy that it takes to put together this musical composition, the more you're going to enjoy the concert, the more you're going to appreciate the work of the conductor, the work of the musicians. So the neshamas, the souls that are sitting in Gan Eden, they're sitting in paradise, the more they have prepared themselves in this world by studying Torah, by studying the mystical concepts, the more they're going to appreciate the energy of Hashem. And even a neshama that is a soul, but if it didn't properly prepare in this world, didn't study Torah, didn't learn Chassidus, comes to the world to come, is sitting in the same room as the other neshamas, as the other souls who did study Chassidus, did study about the mystical elements, and that person is like sitting in a concert. It could be two people sitting next to each other. One person understands musical theory, understands the work of the conductor, but doesn't. So you're sitting in the same room, but Nebuch, you don't understand, which is another reason why it's so important to learn Chassidus, because we're all going to end up in Gan Eden. Our Mishnah tells us that we're all tzaddikim. We're all wonderful. We're all amazing. Hashem loves every single Jew. And Hashem is going to put all of us in paradise in Gan Eden. But imagine sitting in the concert and you don't understand what's going on. You hear the music and you don't have the appreciation. So why would you want to do that to yourself? Wouldn't you like to be from those people that are saying, oh, it's amazing? So that's one other reason to understand Chassidus, especially Mashiach's going to come, and all the neshamas are going to come out of Gan Eden, and then the neshamas that learn Chassidus and learn the mystical concepts are going to have a completely, eventually everybody's going to come up to speed. But even still, it's different if you learn something 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and you've been living with this concept, you've been living with this, as opposed to something you just heard. Yeah, you're excited from it, but it's a totally different appreciation. So this is another reason why it's so important, as I'm mentioning, to learn Chassidus nowadays, to have this appreciation when Hashem is going to open up the curtain and the music will start to play, we're going to say, oh, this is amazing. We really appreciate it. At any rate, that's not what the Alter Rebbe is saying here directly. What the Alter Rebbe is saying is that the Neshamas in Gan Eden, even though they do appreciate, there's a limit to their appreciation. And that itself is a proof that they're living in a finite, limited existence. Even though they're souls, and even though they're spiritual, and even though they're not physical at all, so you would think they would be unlimited. No, they're also limited. What's the limitation? The limitation is their appreciation for Hashem's energy. So, therefore, since we've scratched out choice number one, that means that the creation of the world did not happen through what was called, we described in Hebrew as Elov Ve'Olol, cause and effect, levels that are connected one to the other and natural outgrowths of top level to next level. So how was the world created? The answer is the world was created was what's called Tzimtzum, contraction. In the language of modern science today, we would say a quantum leap. Quantum leap. Science uses the same. Science has recognized that it's impossible for the world, the physical world even, we're talking now totally on the physical side, it is completely impossible for the energy that is energy to become physicality in the finite sense, even though to begin with the energy is finite. We're not talking about infinite energy. But science has recognized that you must have a quantum leap. And this is stated in Hasidus many, many, many hundreds, thousands of years, in fact, before science. This is Tzimtzum, the concept of contraction. So thus, even the creations of the highest spiritual worlds are finite beings. In order for them to create in a finite manner, I'm reading here from the note, the shaded box, the process of contraction must be invoked. Being finite, they are totally dissimilar to their source, the infinite godly light. The source was the infinite godly light. As we explained, that the light of Hashem, not only is it not Shefa, flow, not only is it R, but even as R, it is not subject to the limitations of R. The limitation of R is that it's automatically projected. The Hashem's light is not automatic. Hashem's light is done with intent. So Hashem's energy defies all parable, defies all metaphor, defies all simile. It is completely different than anything that we can imagine. And therefore, how does a physical, finite world come from that light? Mystery. It's a mystery. Another way of saying it's a mystery means is a way of saying quantum leap. Quantum leap. It's a mystery. There is a contraction. It comes from the Arizal. There is a contraction that happens in the light. Hashem somehow, some way, and Hashem can do anything, contracts the light, and that light then goes through some sort of a process that we don't understand at all. We don't have anything to even compare it to. And then Alter Rebbe says the intricate details of the contractions, how they achieve their effect, what they actually are, this is not the place for their explanation. There are places, and see this, but Alter Rebbe will explain to us a little bit more. We still won't understand it, but a little bit more with some parable, some way of understanding it, you know, that's in our experience. In general, they are something in the nature of an obscuring and concealment of the flow of light and vitality. So, Alter Rebbe says, at least we can understand the purpose. In other words, the mechanism, what is exactly the mechanism by which Hashem makes this contraction? Not the place. Other places, we understand a little bit more. But the purpose that we can understand, and the purpose is in order to take what was previously infinite light and to make that infinite light illuminate and reach the lower creatures in a revealed manner, pervading them, acting them, animating them in such a way that they should exist. So the purpose, therefore, of this symptom, of this process is so that the next stage, which is the highest of the spiritual levels, should be able to have an existence. Now, the existence is called Yesh Me'ayin. Yesh Me'ayin. Yesh Me'ayin means Yesh something, Me'ayin from nothing. Fancy Latin word that they use here is ex nihilo, ex from nihilo, nothing. This is not, it's a fancy Latin word, but it's not at all what the Alter Rebbe, of course, is really saying. It's a translation, but it's a good translation, but it's not what the Alter Rebbe is saying, really. And yesh me'ayin means the ayin is a level that we don't understand. So it's not from nothing, it's from something that we don't understand, plain and simple. So this is something that for us is understandable, comes from a level that's completely beyond our comprehension. In only an extremely minute measure, the energy that flows after this punctuation, after this quantum leap, after this tzimtzum, the language of Kabbalah, after this contraction, is very, very tiny amount of energy. And again, this is just a parable. It's poetry. It's not really a tiny energy at all. But for us to understand it, this is the way the Kabbalah and the Kabbalists explain it. It's an extremely minute measure so that they should be in a state of finitude and limitations, that what's coming out should be finite, should have a level. So I think we'll stop with this here too for today. And basically, just to recap, we started chapter 48, and the Alter Rebbe started teaching us on the mathematical level what we have previously spoken about in the popular jargon. So if you open up again a book on physics, and you read about quantum physics, and you read about the popularization of what does it mean, so that Alter Rebbe told us, it's a king who goes out of his palace and he picks up a guy who is on a garbage dump and he brings him close. Popular talk, you know, this is a way for us to understand. And therefore, we should be grateful to Hashem who has gone out of his palace. He is the king and we are so low and we are in the, not on the garbage dump, we're actually heaping garbage on top of us and living in the sewer by doing all kinds of bad stuff and so on. Hashem brings us close and gives us mitzvahs and elevates us the way a husband and a wife would have a unique relationship to the exclusion of everybody else. And that's the mitzvahs that Hashem gives us. This is popular talk, which is beautiful. And the Alter Rebbe further explained to us that this is happening every single day. And this is the idea of going out of Egypt. Hashem is always lifting us up. But now we're speaking about mathematical talk. The mathematics behind the popular talk. So we're talking about or shefa, light, flow, the difference, ein sof, what does it mean, infinite, the light is infinite, what does it mean that Hashem creates the world, how does the infinite create the finite? So we're getting a little deeper, a little more complicated. Yes, it's true, but we're beginning to have a much richer and deeper understanding, as I mentioned to you a moment ago. The idea is, of course, that we should be sitting in the concert hall, each and every one of us, and having appreciation, not just, you know, because you told us a story, somebody told you a story about a king, but a deep appreciation for the process. And that's the gift that Hashem gave us by sharing this information with us through Adam HaRishon, Adam, and then Abraham, and the great prophets, and Moshe, and Arizal, and all of our Rebbes. Hashem shares this information with us in order to be able to give us a sense of being uplifted, not having our feet on the ground, not being stuck in materialism. So this is, again, the beginning of chapter 48. So anybody has any comments if they want to make or think?
Very quickly, from last time, actually from Torah portion, you mentioned that there is an infinite energy that became finite. So it's like a vessel that Hashem was putting energy in this vessel, like you mentioned balloon last time. And then balloon burst, and this little drops of energy scattered all over the world. And it's now it was Adam's job to pick them up. He failed. then it's our job as cleaners to pick it up. I love that analogy from Friday.
Yeah.
But also you said that it fell on everyone. So they're like, you mentioned like converts.
Yeah.
The people that got the drops of energy. Can you like repeat it like one more time? Like how
so
this energy scattered and how we need to pick it up.
We need, so
It
Hashem
kind of
needs,
relates to this chapter, right? It relates to this chapter, right?
yes,
Friday, Torah portion that relates to this chapter, right?
everything is related, no question about it. But the idea is that Hashem has given us direct instructions. How to pick up the energy is by fulfilling the mitzvahs. So, and specifically, the overriding mitzvah for our time is tzedakah. This is the Alter Rebbe who lived, the Alter Rebbe passed away in 1813, it was that time. But this is 24th of Teves in Russian calendar. It was either 1812, 1813 at that time. But so we're talking about, you know, over 100 years ago, over, what am I saying, 100 years ago, 200, over 200 years ago. The Alter Rebbe said already in his times that the main mitzvah is, over 200 years ago, is tzedakah. Tzedakah means not just money, which of course is tzedakah, but it means going out of our way for a fellow Jew, doing whatever we can do on any level that we can do it. And that is how we elevate the sparks. That's how we elevate. So by doing mitzvahs, by studying Torah, we elevate the intellectual aspects, whatever spark is there. By doing mitzvahs with the physical world, we elevate the physical world. By working all day long, whatever our work is, doesn't have to work hard. Whatever your work is, everybody does something. Whether you're earning money or you're just plain doing something, taking care of people, taking care of homemaker, working, it doesn't matter. Everybody puts energy. Where does the energy that you are putting into your work, where does that energy come from? It comes from the food you ate. It comes from the clothing you're wearing, you know, helps you do the job. So we are completely always surrounded by physicality. Where some we consume, some we put on, some that we're working with. And then you take that energy that you maybe earned a dollar in your work, and you take the dollar and you use it for a mitzvah, you use it for a Shabbos meal, you use it for a tzedakah, you use it for whatever. You buy a nice lulav and esrog, you buy a mezuzah for your door, whatever. You buy kosher food, which costs another dollar extra. So whatever it is, you've elevated now all of your work. So that's where the sparks are. Where are the sparks? The sparks are in the world. How do you elevate the sparks? By using the world for the right purpose. Like saying a person has gasoline, everybody's given a can of gasoline, and you say, go make this gasoline into something special. Gas stinks. It smells, plain and simple. You get it on your hands, you want to wash your hands. And if you wash your hands, it still doesn't come out from your hands. It smells, it stinks. You say, I'm going to take this gasoline, make it. Yeah, put it in your car, drive your car over to a concert hall and listen to, or drive your car over to go to work, or drive your car over to the hospital to visit a person who's sick, or any analogy you want to use. Put it into a machine that's going to produce something that's beneficial, useful. That's how you elevate gasoline. So gashmios, the physical world, stinks. It smells. What does it mean it smells? It means it reeks of separateness from Hashem, right? A person has, the more materialism a person has, the more a person thinks that they are self-powered, that they run the world. This is the language of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe told us to the Jews. Shamanta, if you become fat, and you become rich. Avisa, you become thick, you're insensitive, you're desensitized. Kasita, so therefore you've rebelled against Hashem. So Hashem gives us materialism, and Hashem says to the materialism, you should just know that this is gasoline. It smells, and it also is combustible. It's also very dangerous. It's flammable and combustible if you don't use it in the right way. But if you use it in the right way, oh, you could have a rocket ship. You can go to heaven. You can go to, you could produce, you could drive, you could grow, you could enjoy. So this is how to elevate the sparks. Hashem has given us lots and lots of energy. And that's all the blessings in our life. That's all the amazing stuff.